Hey, I think we've got Sheila Jordan on the phone with us right now to talk about her gig at the Mad Monkfish in Cambridge. Sheila, are you there?
Yes, I am, my dear. Very much so.
Excellent. Oh, boy. What a thrill speaking to you. I'm getting a little shiver down my spine right now, as a matter of fact, talking with you. I really am.
Well, I'm getting one, too, talking to you. There.
Well, there you go. I'm such a fan of yours, and we all are. We love you so much, Sheila.
Oh, thank you so much. That means the world to me. I mean it. Oh, my God. Thank you.
One of the things I love the most about you is your authenticity. Your singing, your phrasing, all of that, your musicality, of course. But it's that I feel like your true spirit really shines through when you sing and when you speak, of course. And that's such a rare gift. How did you know to do that?
I don't know. I just, my hero was Charlie Parker. And I listened to him, and I knew him personally quite well. And he was just such a beautiful human being. And I don't know. I've always been very open to people and open about this music because I think it's a very, very unappreciated music in the United States. It's loved in Europe, but it's like a stepchild in America. I call it the stepchild of American music.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, it's never been accepted the way it should be, I feel, anyway, so...
It's like the stepchild that lives up in the attic and only comes down on holidays.
Yes, that's correct. Very good. Yeah, that's what it is to me. And so,
I think you're so right. The part of what we do here at WICN is that we promote jazz. We keep it alive, and we are making sure that people understand how important this music is. It's truly classical music. I think that people don't really have a handle on that here in the States. In Europe,
no.
Of course, they do, as you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you just get back from Europe? Were you over
yes,
there recently?
Yes, I did. Yes, I was over on tour with a group of women, all women musicians who play instruments besides singing. And it's called Lines for Ladies, and so they get me over there once in a while with them as their guest artist to tour. But I tour with other people too, not just them. But I was just did a big tour of Germany with them, and it was wonderful.
It's accepted, and I'm also a singer. I perform in Europe as well.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I do
course.
Know what you're talking about, and I think that it's such an important distinction because, especially for people who are just pretty much simply about the music, not about fancy costumes or stage shows. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course, but for my personal taste, it's just about the music. And when I perform over there, I get a feeling back from the audience that they're really listening. And so do you get that same experience when you perform over there?
Yes, of course. It's a beautiful audience.
It is.
They're really into the music, and it's wonderful.
It sure is. That's one of the things that I love about the Mad Monkfish. Jamie's done such a great job with that room, and I think that it's one of the few places that you can really hear artists. You can hear talking from the stage. I went and saw Yoko Miwa not long ago, and she was just talking to people in the audience back and forth the same way that you do, and it was so engaging and so charming. That's part of the reason why I love that room so much. You've played
it's
there.
He's wonderful.
Jamie,
I love him. He's the best.
He is the best. He really, that's a labor of love right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're performing at the Mad Monkfish Friday, November 5th. You'll be doing two sets, and you, Yoko Miwa and her trio, are backing you up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's Yoko on piano.
Yeah.
Brad and Barrett on bass and Scott Golding on the drums. Your sets are at 7 and at 9. If anyone would like to check this out, please go to, there probably won't be any tickets left, but if you want to hop on there and try to get some, try themadmonkfish.com. Perhaps you will be lucky enough to be in the audience for this very special show. And the other part of this that I'm really excited about is that you're going to be presenting a vocal masterclass the following day, Saturday, at 1 p.m. Is that something that you do a lot of?
Yes, I usually do. It's kind of been part of the thing lately, so I'm very thrilled to be able to do that because I like to inspire young people or old people, just singers in general, old or young, not to give up. Don't give up something you love, you know. You know, support it until it can support you. Hey, it might never support you. I waited a long time until music supported me, but I didn't give it up because it was part of my heart, part of my soul, you know.
Yes.
So don't give up. That's my message. Don't give up.
I think that's a great message for everybody right now, especially to not give up, to just hang in there and not give up as we all try to get through this, you know, thing that we're, it's a strange time that we're in.
Yes.
The joy that you bring to singing, it's a unique approach because it's, how do I want to say this? It's childlike in its innocence and authenticity, not childish, childlike.
No, I understand. No, I understood everything you said.
And what do you think about that?
I think people like yourself out there trying to keep this music alive, the fact that you're a singer yourself is wonderful. But even if you weren't, just that you had a radio show that you were promoting and keeping jazz alive is so important.
I think it's wonderful.
I think it's wonderful. And we need you, big time.
We need people to love jazz, and we need people to support jazz. I think that I know an awful lot of jazz supporters. Many of them don't go out to clubs anymore because they just don't like the environment that they find out there. And that's part of the reason why the Mad Monkfish in Cambridge is such a great venue, because of the fact that people who want to sit and really, marinate in it, they can find that there at the Mad Monkfish, being that close to the performers, being that close to someone like you, as you, you know, lay it down. It's a truly unique experience from our end anyway, and I bet it feels that way for you as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm just, you know, that's all I want to do. I just want to keep this music alive, that's all.
Well, you're doing a good job at it. You're certainly doing your part. I know that now you, for a long time when you were raising your family, of course, you did kind of step aside. Did you still sing? Did you sing to the kids?
Oh, no, I never stepped aside because I never really had a full-time job except a couple of nights a week in the village at a place called the Page Three. And I worked there after my daughter was born. And it didn't pay very much money, but I didn't do it for the money. By the time I paid a babysitter and took a taxi cab home, because it was early in the morning, you know, we're talking 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when the gig was finally over, I had to take a taxi. So I didn't do it for the money because I had a regular day job typing to support my daughter and myself and pay my rent, buy my food, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was just, I just did this for the love of the music and to keep it alive.
Yeah, well, you did a good job because apparently it's still here.
Yes, and, you know, now I'm getting paid, you know, money that I can, you know, not a lot, but I'm making money so that I can have a little extra on top of my Social Security, and it helps me. But mostly, it's mostly because I just want to keep the music alive and I need to sing. Part of my life.
There you go. Your birthday's coming up as well.
Yes,
I know.
It is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be 93 in November the 18th.
That's
me and Mickey Mouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was the day he was created was the day I was born.
Wow.
He was created on November the 18th, 1928, and I was born that day.
Wow, so. that's two awesome things that happened on that day. Now, you also, back in 2012, you received a Jazz Master's Award from the NEA, the National Endowments for the Arts.
I did.
That was
wonderful. I was shocked.
Well, I don't know why.
I've received a lot of great awards lately, so it's wonderful. And, you know, I just got what did I get? I was down at the Smalls, and I got this award. I forgot what it's for, but it's a nice award.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve these awards.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I also know that Capri Records, Capri, however you say that.
Capri, yeah.
Capri, they just released an album that you made back in 1960, Comes Love.
And I don't remember who's even on it.
I know. I can't stand when they ask me who was on the albums because
I
have no idea.
I can't remember because, it never came out. So.
Wow. Well, we're looking forward to hearing that one for sure. And have
you.
So you've worked with Yoko before, or she's worked with you,
yes,
however you want to.
Yes, I've worked with Scott and Yoko, absolutely. Scott's been very good at getting me gigs up that way.
Excellent, excellent.
So he's the one that got me the gig with Jamie. And it's been very successful there.
Now, when you do a master class and people come in, and I imagine they have a piece of music or something, you know, sheet music or something, what is it that you want to hear? What is it that you are looking for? What kind of feedback are you going to give them? What's the deal with that?
Well, encouragement. And if there's something that I feel could be worked on, I let them know. You know, I'm not like, oh nice next, you know. I go into detail.
And how do you
I do it with love. I don't do it like nasty, you know.
That's good.
I do it with love. I don't the last thing I want to do is break the spirit
of
the singers.
Of course.
And so I always do it with love and give them encouragement and tell them, hey, I think maybe have you tried this? Think about this. This might be a little better for you or whatever, you know.
So is it like physical things, you know, stand a different way or breathe a different way or pick a different key or like?
Keys, yes. Excuse me. Yeah, keys might be too high or too low. Usually too high. And, maybe this song isn't really happening, you know. So I give them ideas of tunes, and yeah, I always have a group of tunes that I give to all the singers, nice songs that they might be interested in singing.
Hmm.
So when I do my workshop, and it also shows what a lead sheet should look like, you know, not just on a half a piece of paper with a lot of chord changes. We're talking music paper, lyrics, who wrote it, the composer, the name of the tune, and their name up in the corner so that if their music gets lost in a club somewhere, their name is on it and they can find out who the person was.
Wow.
And I never give out the originals. I keep the originals at home. So it's things like that that sometimes singers don't think about, but should.
Yes.
Yes. So it helps. It helps them.
I think that's a really old school way of doing things, and it's something that should be brought back because
lead sheets are very important.
They're very important.
Good lead sheets, and the singers sometimes don't realize that. You cannot give a half a piece of paper with a bunch of chord changes on it and expect to get incredible accompaniment. It won't happen.
It's true. And I also think that it's a gesture of respect to the original songwriter to make sure that their name is always included, because so often they get left out of everything.
That's
a thing, of course, that a lot of performers do, where they'll present a song and they don't necessarily want to bring anybody else's name up. They sort of, not that they want to be, you know what I mean, sneaky about it or anything, but they don't like the audience to be thinking of anyone else. So what I mean in specific for myself, for example, when I was coming up and I started doing rhythm and blues music, a lot of Ruth Brown and Dinah Washington, that I would talk to them about those artists and also about the songwriters, because I'm just the vehicle singing the tune. It has really not that much to do with me. Who's important is Dinah Washington or Ruth Brown, because they started it. So I feel that when we do that as performers, that we are participating in like keeping the river flowing, the river of information flowing. So it isn't just about the song, it's about the whole story about the song. And that's part of what you're doing. And I just love that so much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Well,
that's what it's supposed to be for me.
And it is. I'm just so thrilled to be speaking with you. And I'm just so thrilled that you're still coming out and sharing your gift with us as a performer and as an instructor, I'll say, because I think that it's just so important. How do you get up here from New York? Does someone drive you up, or do you take the train, or how does it work?
Well, I take the train, usually. Jamie or Scott gets me a ticket on the train, and I take the train, and then they pick me up and take me to the hotel.
Awesome. When you fly over to Europe, do you have trouble with the time change or anything? Does it mess with your voice?
No, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great. So once again, I'm speaking with Sheila Jordan. Sheila Jordan is an NEA jazz master. She's coming up to Cambridge. She's in New York, coming up to Cambridge to play at the Mad Monkfish in Cambridge, Friday, November 5th. She'll do two sets. If you want to check that out, go to themadmonkfish.com. That's themadmonkfish, themadmonkfish.com. You can buy tickets for that. Now, if you're a singer, you may want to go to Sheila's vocal masterclass she's holding on Saturday, November 6th. That's at 1 p.m. And you can get more information about that as well at the Mad Monkfish site. Hey, is there anything else that, so we're a public radio station. We support jazz. And I just would love to give you the last word. Why should people support public radio? What's the big deal about jazz?
People should support public radio because they try so hard to keep wonderful things alive that we should know about. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it. And jazz, again, is the music of the American country, but it's never been accepted as such. And we need to start accepting this incredible music of jazz. And I, little by little, you know, I've been teaching it for years, and I still do, and I got a beautiful award from Satchmo, it's called, the Satchmo Award. And, I got that award, and I got the NEA Jazz Masters Award, and Women in Jazz. I've got incredible awards, and that's wonderful. And I'm not making light of it. But the point is that in so doing, people become aware of the fact that, hey, what is this? Maybe this is something worth listening to, this music. Maybe we should support this jazz station. It's just a shame that it's not been accepted in this country the way it should be, since it's our music, since it belongs to the U.S. Now, I don't know, is it because it started out by being an African music with the African people working in the cotton fields for nothing? And how did they get by? They sang the blues. That's how they got by, singing the blues, because it was a hard life.
Yes. I think that's a really important point that you make. It's a deep discussion, and not something we can dig into too deeply, you and I, but you think down through the years of all the people who've played this music, and they, even now, maybe it's finally starting to change, but, you know, never got the respect that they truly...
A little bit better, but not great.
But we got a long way to go, let's put it that way.
Yes, we do.
But at the same time, we'll do our part to keep it alive so that the next generation and group of people who come along can do a little better. And hopefully, eventually, one day, it will be recognized by all Americans as American music. But your point is so well made that it is as a direct result of the African-American experience that this music came to be. Such painful experience created the most beautiful art in the world.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah, it sure is. Well, I know that we'll all be very excited to be able to hear you at the Mad Monkfish. Yoko Miwa and her trio, we're huge fans of Yoko's here at WICN. She gets a lot of airplay.
Wow, she's wonderful.
She is. She's a great performer and a brilliant musician. And her group, the group, Brad Barrett on bass and Scott Golding on drums. What a wonderful, tight group they are, too.
Yeah. They're great, and they play great for me, and I love them all.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And I love Jamie. He's the best.
He really is. His love for the music and also for the delicate yet determined way that he's carved out a place for the Mad Monkfish. I'm such a fan of his as well. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sheila Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
My pleasure.
Oh, what
thank
a thrill.
You.
I'm going to remember this conversation for the rest of my life.
Well, I'll remember it too, honey. And thank you so much for having me. And, you know, you're keeping the music alive, the music of jazz, and that's wonderful. And I thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Sheila. Have a great day and a wonderful gig. And all of those lucky folks who are lucky enough to take your class, you listen to what she tells you now.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Sheila. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Okay. Bye-bye, sweetie. Thank you again. Bye-bye.